Welcome to Community Conversations, a monthly program on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson, and this evening we'll be talking about bullying and legislation to stop it. The Safe and Supportive Schools Act is on its way to Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton's desk for his signature, but without any Senate Republican support. Although the current legislation, at 37 words, is considered one of the weakest anti-bullying laws in the country, not everyone believes that HF 826 is the way to solve the problem. Tonight, we'll take a look at the law, which the governor has said he will sign, from the point of view of supporters and opponents, and talk with the superintendent of the Duluth schools to get his take on it. Let's meet our guests.
Hi, I'm Bill Gronseth. I'm the superintendent of the Duluth Public Schools.
And I'm Autumn Leva. I'm the Director of Legislative Affairs with Minnesota Family Council.
And I am Gary Anderson, and I'm formerly on staff, but now a volunteer with Outfront Minnesota.
Thank you all so much for joining us this evening. Minnesota's anti-bullying legislation has been called among the weakest in the nation. It has 37 words. So other than perhaps many more words, what's missing from the legislation?
From my perspective as a volunteer with Outfront Minnesota, I see a need for really strengthening this bill so that it really protects all kids and then provides a foundation to keep all of our kids safe and supported in their school environments.
Well, you know, I think there's some disagreement on what kinds of fixes are needed. I know lots of folks think, well, the current law requests and requires that every school district have a bullying policy already. And some people like that local control. They think that their schools and their parents and the teachers involved there are doing a great job already and that they've found a solution that works for that community. Other communities are saying, you know, there's still some issues there, parents possibly having concerns with the way bullying is being handled in the school. So I think there is some disagreement, and I think part of the issue at hand with the current bullying bill is that only one proposed bullying approach to addressing bullying is being discussed, and I think that's part of the problem.
Actually, Autumn, that leads in beautifully to my next question, which was how can anybody be opposed to legislation that prevents bullying?
Right, and that's a question we've got a lot since we're one of the most outspoken opponents of the proposed bullying bill, and I think it's a fair question. You know, nobody thinks that kids being bullied in schools is a good thing. Obviously, there's horrible stories of kids being bullied and how that affects them. We know it affects them and their academic achievements. However, it really is about what the best approach is to addressing bullying. And we simply think that this bill that's being proposed is the wrong approach. And we also think the fact that only one solution being discussed is the wrong approach. You know, if we really want to work on protecting all students, then we need to be discussing a broad sway of solutions so that we can really come to the best conclusion.
I think Autumn is right on that no one is for bullying. Everyone wants to put an end to it. And part of a good piece of legislation around this does offer the flexibility for administrators, for teachers, for families to address it as individual events, because every case is a little bit different. And if we only have that one solution, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
Bullying is a really sneaky kind of issue. When bullying was taking place in our grade school years, we were told to settle it ourselves. Thank heavens we've evolved as a society past that point. We realize that it isn't that simple. And yet bullying is still going on. Why do you suppose that it is such a difficult issue to come to grips with?
Well, I think for starters, it's so much more than in our schools. It's really a piece of community and society wherever you go. You turn on the television, you turn on the radio, you walk down the street, and that behavior is being modeled for everyone. And so, you know, it really has to do with how we as a community treat each other and how kids see other adults or other kids treating each other. It's something that is going to take more than legislation in schools, which I support, but it really has to be a whole societal approach to it.
And I think the nice thing about this particular bill is that it provides resources for parents, for teachers, and for students, all to work together to address the issue. And we're never going to stamp it out. It's always, you know, bullying is, you know, it's there. But what this bill encourages all of us to do is to name it when we see it, and hopefully to address it in a way that protects the kids who are the victims of bullying, and also provides the resources so that, you know, the kids who are potentially going to be the bullies themselves are able to say, you know what, no, this is not right, and I need to find a different way to deal with the situation.
When I think about bullying, I think that it is, at its heart, it's an effort by someone to attack the vulnerable, that we recognize someone who is different from us, we feel threatened by the other, or you bully someone that you perceive as less than yourself. Autumn, how do you see bullies? Where do you see this behavior coming from?
That is part of the problem with this legislation, and a part of the problem that you were discussing earlier about you know, this really difficulty that we have as a society in getting a good grasp around this issue. And I think that's because sometimes we have a hard time defining what bullying is. And I think that is one of the problems with this bill and just a problem in general. You know, if you've got kids who are physically assaulting one another or something along those lines, then let's call that what it is. That's an assault. It's not just bullying. There's another level there. So I think to some extent there is, when we see bullying in schools, there is an imbalance of power between students, for sure, or a perceived imbalance of power. But I think there's oftentimes something more going on there as well. And I think part of the problem with the way bullying is defined in this bill is the fact that this bill is defining bullying based on a student's characteristic. And I know that we've been pretty outspoken about that as well, that the group is naming out 19 categories of students who apparently are more deserving of protection than other students. And we see that as a problem. You know, bullying isn't just about based on why the student's being bullied. A student could be bullied for a whole variety of reasons. So a serious approach to bullying should be defined as protecting all students from bullying, period, not giving some students more protection than others.
The bill does list 19 groups of students who are not more deserving of protection, but who are more likely to be bullied because of who they are or who they are perceived to be. So it's not that these 19 groups deserve special protection, but that research has shown and experience has shown that these, you know, kids, their perceived race, or the perceived or actual race, their perceived or actual religion, their perceived or actual disability. So that this bill will protect all students, but it will also take guesswork out of the equation. You know, for adults or students who are seeing a situation happening in a school, having these categories listed will hopefully make it easier to name it and identify it when they see it.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. Our guests this evening are Duluth Superintendent of Schools Bill Gronseth. Autumn Leva is joining us over the phone this evening. She is the Director of Legislative Affairs with the Minnesota Family Council, and she joins us over the phone, as I mentioned, from the Twin Cities. Gary Anderson is a volunteer from Outfront, Minnesota. The opponents of the Safe and Supportive Schools Act say that it is not accurately named. Let's talk about some of the objections to the bill. There is objection to it as an unfunded mandate. There is the School Climate Center at the Department of Education. There is a call for a statewide database to track and report bullying. Bill, it strikes me that you're one of the people that would be the first person that I would ask to respond.
Well, you know, certainly whenever legislation goes through or mandates go through, I naturally go to, okay, what are the financial pieces of this? And in the Duluth schools, we currently have a pretty strong bullying policy and practices. And so there's not a whole lot of difference for us financially. I think the one piece that I look at is the training. As one of the biggest employers in town and a requirement to train all of our staff on this. There was a change that went from annual to a three-year basis that helped us out a little bit. You know, finances in education are always a hot topic. And I think that we do have to be careful of what we are putting in place as a state as far as financial responsibilities in education. You know, it's hard to talk about finances when you're talking about something as important as bullying, but I think that as responsible citizens, we do have to look at the finance piece and make sure that the funding is in place for the pieces that they're talking about.
There are some genuine concerns there because this is an unfunded mandate, and because many, many districts that we're hearing from and that I know legislators are hearing from are saying some similar things, and that we have a bullying policy in place. It has been working. We are enforcing it, you know, things along that line. We've worked together with our teachers, with our parents, with our students, and we've got a policy that works. So then for this piece of legislation to come in and say, we're going to address bullying from the top down, we're going to create the school climate center within the Department of Education, so a very bureaucratic approach. This is an unproven solution to bullying. There is no other approach to bullying like this piece of legislation proposes anywhere in the country as of yet. And also, we're not going to fund it. I think that is rather problematic for schools, particularly when there's some other concerns as well, such as a lack of requiring parents to be notified if your child is bullied or if your child is accused of bullying. And this, as we see a broad definition of bullying as well, I think there's some real concerns for schools and parents.
From a funding perspective, there is $1 million that was set aside in last year's budget that is actually sitting there in the education fund waiting for this bill to be passed into law. And this $1 million will be used to help provide training and support to school districts across the state. So there is funding there to help get this bill and help it become effective to protect students across the state. And as far as the data collection, the bill has been amended, recently amended, to address the data collection so that, you know, kids' privacy especially will be protected.
Educational records are some of the most protected records there are. So while we do track all of this information and we do report to the state a number of behaviors, including things like assault, drug use, alcohol use, harassment and bullying, there is never a name connected to those records.
The bill has also been criticized, we kind of touched on this, as a loss of independent local authority. And some folks say that they're concerned that it would make an unsafe learning environment, that kids would be under basically a gag order. They would be worried about saying the wrong thing. Reactions to that? Autumn?
Well, you know, I think that is a real problem. As I mentioned, one of our biggest concerns is the broad definition of bullying that is being proposed. And so when you're defining bullying as being against someone because of a particular characteristic that they possess, you know, I think Gary mentioned earlier religion as being one of the groups that is one of those listed in there. You know, if someone speaks up in class and gives their opinion based on their religion, would that be considered bullying? You know, if their religion differs from somebody else's or their religion differs from someone else's view, and another student is in a perceived imbalance of power situation, or the other student feels they can't, they don't feel supported in their school environment simply because another student is voicing an opinion, expressing a belief, something like that. I think that is a real concern that's not addressed in this bill.
I think one of the things that we haven't talked about yet in that definition is a pattern of behavior. So if it were a one-time conversation and it gave an educator an opportunity to have a conversation with the student and correct that behavior before it becomes a pattern, it really wouldn't fit into the bullying definition. We are really talking about patterns of behavior, whether it be repeated by several different people to the same student or the same student making comments or actions against others. Both would fit that pattern of behavior that we're looking for. So it's, you know, it is a fine line to define that between a student making a comment and learning from that and it becoming a pattern of behavior. And that pattern is really what we seek to address with this. You can have an intellectual conversation about different perspectives, and that doesn't make it bullying. It would become bullying if one of the students then started making derogatory comments about that person or about that person's beliefs. But nothing should stop us from having those kind of learning conversations, because it's exactly those kind of conversations that help us to understand each other and to get along better and to see the world from a different lens.
You know, I actually agree completely. I think that's exactly right, having those conversations and helping learn where the other is coming from, because it's an understanding differences that we can work to prevent bullying. I just don't think that is actually clear in the bill and the definition of bullying. I think you're right. The bill also, the definition touches on the pattern of behavior, but there's a couple different ways that it does that. It defines bullying based on, you know, those 19 different groups. If there's also a repeated pattern or behavior, or if it's found by, you know, whomever makes the determination that the student's educational environment is being interfered with. So there's two different ways. It's not just the pattern of behavior that can determine bullying. So I think, again, the definition is too broad, and it's still too unclear for us to say this is the right way to address bullying in schools.
Autumn, the Minnesota Family Council's website is very, very clear that bullying of any child should not be tolerated, but it says that the anti-bullying legislation of this particular bill has been introduced to stop bullying by reshaping the beliefs and values of students on such topics as family structure and sexuality. Can you explain that a little bit?
I think that's a part of what I was discussing earlier within the broad definition of bullying and calling out those 19 different groups. And a couple of those 19 groups are listing out students' sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression. Now, I want to be very clear, we don't think that students who have an LGBT sexual orientation or a gender identity that doesn't conform with their biological gender should be bullied. That's absolutely not what we're saying. However, when you list out those groups, I think the problem with that is that creates an affirmative duty of the school district to actually create special curriculum and create this supportive environment through specific programming, through listing them out in that way, so as to affirm that type of lifestyle or family structure for those students, while not really recognizing that other students come from different backgrounds and beliefs, such as, you know, the Muslim faith, the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, where sexuality and marriage and things like that are very, very sacred and part of one's faith and values, that may not agree with that family structure or alternative sexual orientation. And that can become a problem when those two things conflict in school, and this bill does not address how that conflict is going to be resolved. Instead, it actually is affirming curriculum for those students whose gender, again, does not conform to their biological gender or who their sexual orientation is of as LGBT. I think recognizing that there are differences, again, is fine, and recognizing that no one should be bullied is also absolutely the right way to go. But when you're calling out specific types of curriculum and specific types of programming where you're affirming those students while not really addressing how you're going to recognize when other students' values and backgrounds and faith traditions disagree with that, I think that's a problem, and it's a problem that's not addressed in the bill, and therein lies one of our big concerns.
Aren't there always areas, though, where students discover going through their schooling, aren't there always areas where you discover that you're in disagreement with other people?
Yeah, absolutely, but I don't think that's what this bill is saying. I don't think that's what this bill is addressing. When you take the bill as a whole in creating this affirmative duty to provide extra protection for these students that are listed out in those groups, in addition to a broad definition of bullying, so we're still not exactly clear as to what this is, And in addition to allowing anonymous reporting, in addition to not requiring that parents of a child who's bullied or accused of bullying be notified, you know, I think we've got this sort of big top-down bill that is overlooking some major conflicts in schools.
Imagine the situation where there's a young kid, an adolescent, who is struggling with his or her sexuality or sexual identity, and has parents who are potentially not supportive of this child identifying as lesbian or gay, and the school then being required to go to the parent and say, your child is being harassed because, you know, she's perceived as lesbian or gay. And then the parent ends up, who doesn't think that this is good for the kid, ends up, it just creates an unsafe environment in the home for the child. So right now, this bill does not change the reporting strategy for the schools. Right now, it's up to the school's discretion about reporting incidents within the schools. And I also want to address, too, the idea there is no curriculum required in this bill. There is no curriculum required. Mm-hmm. There's a suggestion for age-appropriate education around sex, but there's no requirement for this. And again, about special protection, it's not here. It is not here. What the bill does is it names groups so that adults and students in the situation can recognize the bullying when they see it, and that there's no special protection.
Many of these topics are also covered within our health curriculum. We talk about bullying. We talk about gender. We talk about family makeup. Many of these things are already included in our curriculum.
You're listening to Community Conversations on KUMD. Our guests this evening, Duluth Superintendent of Schools Bill Gronseth. Autumn Leva is the Director of Legislative Affairs with the Minnesota Family Council. She joins us over the phone this evening from the Twin Cities. And Gary Anderson is a volunteer with Outfront Minnesota. Let's talk about some of the ways that we may be able to put an end to bullying. Children are dying as a result of bullying, either physical violence or emotional violence that pushes them to the edge. If children were bringing guns to school and shooting one another with the same regularity that children are needing mental health treatment or even committing suicide because of bullying, it would indeed be seen as a crisis. Gary, what does Outfront Minnesota say is the solution?
Well, I think a big part of the solution is the community conversation that's been going on now for the last, you know, couple of years around this specific bill, because it's taken this situation, which has oftentimes just been in the background and not really being addressed. And, you know, and bullying is, you know, I grew up in a small town here in northern Minnesota, and, you know, and we're fortunate here in Duluth, where a lot of the larger schools have good protections and policies in place so that bullying is addressed on a regular and consistent basis in the system. And I think that kids in all schools, whether they're in a big school like Duluth, the Duluth school system or the metropolitan system, or they're in a small little town like Floodwood, that all kids should be protected. And this bill will go a long way toward addressing that by providing supports to the schools, not mandating, but providing supports to the schools and suggested guidelines.
Autumn, what's your sense about the best way to put an end to bullying?
First, I do want to address something that Gary said. Maybe you missed it in the bill. It's kind of a long bill, but there is specific programming required in that program. Programming must conform with the definition, the broad definition of bullying and the specific listed classifications of students that are listed out under that definition. And it's required also in all school district policies. But to address your question at hand as to what is the best approach to bullying, I think, first of all, it starts at the local level because, you know, if we aren't trusting schools to be able to develop policies that address student behavior, you know, what do we trust them with? I think the schools and parents, obviously, that work and live with these students every day, and the students themselves are the ones who are really going to be the experts at how to address bullying in their community, in their school. So I think this, the right approach is starting at the local level as opposed to from the top down. And I think that, you know, I come from a teaching background myself, and then in conversations with the students I work with in church and things like that on the weekends, so many of them tell me, you know, when the adults do step in, when the adults in my life are working with me, when the adults in my life are helping help us generate conversations and be involved, that's really when bullying is addressed. So, of course, that means teachers in schools, when they do see an incident, being able to work with the students and also communicate with the parents so that parents can be an advocate for their children. And again, we think that's something that's lacking in the bill.
You know, and I really go back to kind of how I started this whole conversation, that this isn't something that just happens within the microcosm of school, that this is a much larger issue throughout society, and that bullying also is paired with so many other issues very often, such as mental health, chemical health, family stability issues. There are so many different things that kids need help with. And sometimes addressing just the bullying is addressing one of the symptoms instead of the cause. And so we really need to look at it as a much larger picture and be able to support students. And that really takes the whole community. It takes many organizations to really address this well.
We do want to see bullying stopped in schools, absolutely. And, you know, coming from a Christian organization, we believe that all kids are created equally and made in the image and likeness of God. And so we want to help kids be able to honor that and treat each other with respect. But we simply think that this bill is, quite frankly, the wrong approach to doing that, and will, instead of creating a positive environment, will create one where there is an imbalance of power in schools with an untested, unproven, unfunded mandate, and we think it's the wrong way to go about addressing this issue.
I am grateful for the opportunity to be here today and to be a part of this discussion with Bill and Autumn and with you, Lisa. Outfront Minnesota has been advocating for LGBT people in Minnesota for around 27 years, and I'm grateful for the legislative efforts that will help to build protection into our schools, specifically for LGBT kids. You know, and they are named here, and you know, and I, with respect, that there are people of faith out there who absolutely unconditionally support our LGBT kids. There are also people of faith out there who will look for the opportunity to use their faith to displace and to disregard LGBT youth. And I'm grateful that for the legislative leadership that's come forward to support LGBT youth in our schools.
You know, I really think that bullying is throughout history. I think just about everyone that you could talk to has a story about bullying, either being a victim to or a bully themselves or being witness to it. And I think that having a strong definition is a key to seeing it, to naming it, and to changing it. And if this legislation helps us to do that, then I think that it's a step in the right direction.
Community Conversations is a monthly program here on KUMD dedicated to topics of interest in our community and fostering our community connections. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson. Thanks to our guests, Gary Anderson, a volunteer with Outfront Minnesota, Autumn Leva, the Director of Legislative Affairs for the Minnesota Family Council, and the Superintendent of Duluth Schools, William Grunson. Community Conversations is produced by Lisa Johnson with help from Chris Harwood and funded by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.